Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
All right, guys. I am really, really, really excited today. I'm really excited because I'm with you. That's the very first thing. Thank you guys so much. Everybody who's on social media, who is live right now, streaming live, letting everybody know that we are live on air. I appreciate you guys so much. Everybody in the chat room, lots of love to you and also our international listeners and callers. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for everybody who beat me here. Yeah, you guys know I multitask a lot. So, yes, thank you so much for being on time. I appreciate you more than words can express. I'm Valerie Denise Jones. You are listening to Big Exclusive. You're in the house with Valerie and Philo the Great. We got a great show for you today. I am extremely excited about the person who is on today's show because she is one of my sheroes. And I'm going to tell you guys something because I read an article, something I can't do it justice. So I'm just going to read it literally verbatim because it is so true and it is exactly what I would have said had I, you know, I don't know, used half my brain probably because this is perfect. It is so perfect. But anyway, it says, all we have to do is say, don't slap me because I'm not in the mood. And old school R&B lovers everywhere know exactly who we're talking about. That would be singer-musician Bernadette Cooper, the founding member of the 80s female R&B band Climax and their song Meeting in the Ladies Room. Bernadette was the group member with Swag. I absolutely love that because it is so true. And because of that, guys, I have to do this. We're going to take a little quick break because I want to just play. Actually, no, you know what? I'm going to shift gears because I'm looking at the time and then I'll get caught up. I'll edit the song in the edit. Let me go on and bring in Philo the Great, 818-613, before I get excited. 818-613, let me welcome you to the show. Here we go. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm fine. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. You know, I get a little disoriented when we talk about female empowerment, women's empowerment. I get a little discombobulated because I get excited, not with black women especially. We aren't celebrated the way that we should in most cases, and it's really, really sad. So when I get an opportunity, sometimes I forget, you know, to run scripts. So I apologize because I was just about to jam. I look good, but you know what? I'm going to save that either to the end or to the edit because I've been rocking it all day, and I don't want to spoil it. I want to toss it because I'll look up, and before I know it, the hour will be over, and then, yeah, we would have taken up too much time. But anyway, which song would you like to play, Philo the Great, to welcome our guest? We need to play something, at least a snippet of it. Just 1 or 2 minutes of it because most of the songs are like 4 minutes, but let's get them in the mood. So I'll let you pick.
Well, to get them in the mood, we want to play some upbeat. And my recommendation is Meeting in the Ladies Room. I remember the video vividly, the club scene, and walking into the restroom and all fly in their 80s gear and looking all good and stuff. So let's go ahead and hit the people with Meeting in the Ladies Room, and when we return, we can go ahead and bring in our guest and rap with her and hear it from directly from her, the creator of Climax.
Oh my God, I'm so excited! Oh yeah! I have to say this to the world. When I welcome today's guest, she says she listens to the show. You guys just don't know what that meant. I'm losing it over here. All right, ladies,
yes.
Meeting in the ladies' room. See you in about a minute or so. Thank you, Philo. Big shout out.
No doubt. Let's go.
I had to leave my condo to come to this. Well, I'm back.
this time it was my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater that I bought. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous.
You better watch your man. So speaking of watching a man, I think I'm going to sit back and watch Philo the Great. I think that would be the perfect way to pause, right? Oh my God. Guys, thank you so much. All right, so Philo, what I'm going to do next time, 646-436-646-436. I'm going to go on and open up her mic. Blessings. How are you, Ms. Cooper?
I'm well. I'm doing great. How are you two doing?
Oh, my God. So excited about this moment. It's an honor. I just wanted to say
Thank
that,
you.
And then I'm going to dip out and put you
Thank
in good
you.
Hands, like all states. All right. Blessings.
Hello, Philo.
Indeed. How you doing? I hope you're having a
I'm
great
good.
Day. We play with,
I'm good.
That's good. We played a little excerpt, excuse me, of Ladies' Room. And for all those who don't know, I know we're dealing with a lot of millennials. We've got a lot of young listeners. And we do have some listeners from the era of Climax and beyond. But for those who may not know exactly who Climax is, today is a groundbreaking day for us. Why? Because this is history. Your group, the group that you were founded, Climax, the only female, all-female band, meaning band people, band, every one of the members played an instrument. And so
yeah.
I just want you to really let the people know who you are, give them your backstory, and why this is so big. At this time, Ms. Cooper, you got it. Let's get it.
Well, you know, It's so ironic right now because I'm in the area of where I actually conceived the idea of Climax. I'm kind of, you know, in the town where I conceived it, and it's bringing back a lot of memories of when I decided one day, you know, when I had been playing drums in school and in high school, and then I played drums in church, and then, you know, it really opened my love and desire for music. And then I realized it was my calling, and I decided to form an all-girl band. And through adversities, I don't know how I did it, because when I look back, I was just a girl with the yellow pages. Remember the yellow pages? And I telephoned,
yeah.
And I was calling people, and it just came from a pure thought. And I put the only girl band together that no one has been able to do one since. And we made history by being producers, writers, musicians, and, you know, we had a little cult following because of our women empowerment themes and sisterhood themes. So I'm proud of that, and, you know, it's a major part of my legacy.
All right, and so me doing my research and reading some of your biography, this stunned me. It says that you were raised in California, Inglewood and Compton to be exact, and we know some of the people that come from that area, Barry White, N.W.A. But it's
yeah.
been at 12 years old. 12 years old, you taught yourself how to play the drums. I was like,
yes,
like, how was, like, why did you do that experience? At 12, you didn't have no teacher, no mentor. How was that for you? What happened? You just picked up some sticks and said, I can do this? So how did you become fascinated with the drums at 12 years old?
Well, It wasn't so much a fascination until my mom remarried and my stepfather had a drum set. And I started getting on it every day after I came home from school and practicing. And then it was, I don't know, I just happened to really think it was all a part of my journey. It's really hard to describe and say, I just sat down and started playing. And then from there, that led to playing in church. So we had 100 voice choir, and we would always win competitions because they had this girl drummer. That led to high school and learning how to play at Compton High. I went to Compton High School and playing in the band. That just led to my love of music and being the drummer for Climax.
Wow. So during the era of Climax, you ladies were not only dope musicians, but you ladies were, so to say, divas. Back then, I can vividly see the meetings in the ladies' room, the meeting in the ladies' room video, and back then you all were sexy but classy, not showing a lot of body parts, but still getting your point across. All Eyes on Me, especially with a song like The Men All Pause, meaning when we step in the room, we turn ahead. So they don't know we in here. So that is the swag, the attitude that Climax presented to the world. Now, was that mainly brought on by who you are as a woman, being the founder of Climax? Did your personality, your personal swag, rub off on the group?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I have to say that when we first were signed to Solar Records, and Mr. Griffey, you know, he brought in male producers to produce us because we didn't have a look yet, we didn't have a sound yet. We were trying to develop it, and then we came along, and Jimmy and Terry Lewis were our producers who really allowed us to be more free and to invoke more of our personality into the music. And that's when we started to, I mean, what you hear, I know I was looking good. That's something I used to say when I walked into the studio. That's something, that was a communication that the girls in Climax, we would have with each other all the time. So one day Joyce came in and she said, Joyce Irby, she came in and she gave me a track. She said, I wrote this last night. So I sat on the floor with a 4-track recorder, and I wrote the lyrics to The Men All Pause. So I pretty much just put our attitude, our everyday empowering talk and attitude, and the fact that Jimmy and Terry Lewis allowed us to be free. I was able to feel free to put that whole attitude onto tape. And that became our biggest hit. That became our first hit.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mr. Griffey said, you guys can produce your own stuff because he saw that we had the talent to do it. Mr.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that, too, because I remember reading that before Mr. Griffey gave you all the creative control, you all were really being vocal about the songs that the men will have y'all write, such as Massage My Feet, Cook My Dinner, Cook My Baby.
So
you all really sing the songs, I would say, as being sexist, right? So you all went in there and asked for your creative control. Mr. Griffey allowed you to have your creative control. And by him believing in you all, we got hits such as The Men All Call, Meeting in Your Ladies' Room, and your biggest hit, which was I Miss You. That is
dope. My favorite Divas Need Love show. That's one of my favorites.
Wow. And is it hard to even have a favorite? With all the songs you all have done, is it hard to be tied to one, or what makes that song your favorite?
Well, Philo, they're all my children. It's just that one particular song was, it just happened to be when it came to mind that I really did enjoy the recording process of it and what it meant behind it. But all of it, I love all the songs. There are a lot of songs that people don't know about that haven't been played as often as Meeting in the Ladies' Room that are my favorite as well. So I won't say it's my favorite. I'll just say it's one of my favorite children.
Wow, man. And listen, and let me just take some time out before I move further, because I don't want to go too far without paying homage again and telling you how honored I am to be having an interview with you, hearing it directly from you, the founder, the creator of the Climax, the only female band that we've seen that was up there with the great bands like Earth, Wind & Fire, Bootsie Collins. So you all brought a level of you all's own sound. You know what I mean? You all had the dance floors rocking, the clubs rocking. You know what I'm saying? I remember my mom used to party off you all so much, like so much. And with that being all Paul's, I ain't going to lie, I grew up with a diva, a high heel dress wearing diva. So that was, she was a head turner, so to say. So she, that was one of her jams. So when you make songs like that, I seen it for myself firsthand in my house. That was like a uplifting, a anthem for women who really held themselves to a higher standard. Didn't walk out the house with the bonnet on their head. Didn't go to the grocery store in their pajamas. When they walked out the house, they was presentable. You know what I'm saying? So those songs like that, I seen it firsthand, and man, I just the impact on them. And to know that no one has been able to come behind you all and duplicate that, that is amazing. That is amazing. It lets you know the mark, the legacy that you all have left in the R&B game as female and as an all-female band. And that is
thank
to
you
be
for,
commended. That is.
Thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate that.
No problem. So we got Climax. You went on to do other things in about, let's say, about 87. So can you talk about that time frame? When you left, what did you go on to do, and what really made you seek change?
Well, you know, when you're in a group, in a band, and are associated with a lot of women, it's very much like a marriage. And it's not, we're not going to nitpick and say, oh, this, that, or the other. Let's just say sometimes you do outgrow a situation. Excuse me. Sometimes you do outgrow the situation, and it's not that you have a distaste in your mouth, for anybody. It's just a matter of I'm outgrowing, and I think it's time for me to move forward. And it's very plain for me to see that it's time for me to move forward, and I did. And, you know, the girls went on, and they had my blessings, and I even, you know, they asked me for songs. It wasn't a bad, you know, wasn't the like this huge breakup. It's just kind of like it was time for me to go. And through my attorneys, we all sat down and talked, and I told them what I wanted to do, and I did it. And then, I started to have visions of other concepts and bands and things that I wanted to create, you know, and then that's when I went on to create Madam Max for Sylvia Roan at Atlantic Records.
Right. So, like, having that start with Climax, working with producers such as Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and you all being a bank, like, how did that mesh? You have physical producers, some of the best producers, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who turned out to be some of the best producers, because I believe you all were one of their first groups that they worked with, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We were in the studio when Prince called and fired them because they were sneaking away to produce us. And Prince found out about it. But, you know, that led them to kind of quit. I think they were in the time. And they started producing other groups, and they became the popular Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis because of that moment of, you know, getting out there and using us as how can I say, just, you know, they're the ones, I have to say something about Jamie and Terry and their production. They're the ones who freed us from that whole male bondage of we have to do this and we have to say it this way. They were trying to pull out of us all the things that were real, all the real things that females did. And by them showing me that this is possible, it allowed me to become the writer and the producer that I am. And it made me freer. And not, I wasn't bound to any kind of specific way of producing. So I just kind of did whatever came to mind with no fear. And a lot of that had to do with Jimmy and Jam and Terry Lewis.
Wow. And so when you say they freed you up, like working with them, being a band, did they, like, write the music? Because I always wanted to know, because it's a unique situation. Having an all-female band who plays instruments, who pretty much come up with their own music, and then you have producers like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, like, how did that mesh? Did they create the beat, and then you all play the beat live, or did you all play it live, and then they create the beat? How did that work?
Well, one wonderful thing was that they really liked a lot of my writing. And a lot of this, you notice a lot of those songs were things that I wrote or conceptualized. So they used to call on me all the time, what do you have, what do you have? And they would actually create the beats. We didn't, you know, the world has to understand that sometimes in the studio, there are studio musicians and then there are live musicians. Okay, and just because you can play, you know, doesn't mean like you're playing on everything inside of this in the studio. I didn't play the drums on every song. I didn't want to play the drums on every song because that required focus, timing. It required things that I didn't think I was the best at. I'm better as a live musician. So I would say, hey, bring in the Organ Brothers. You know, one play guitar, one play drums or whatever, let them lay the tracks. So a lot of the tracks that you probably hear, maybe I did overdubs on it, but a lot of the foundations, you know, it wasn't all the girls in Climax. But we did play, but not on every song.
Okay.
So with Jimmy and Terry, they would say, Bernadette, go in, play the drums on a certain part. I would go do it. You know, on a particular song. And then maybe Terry will come back and he'll lay a bass line. And maybe, or either maybe he'll ask Joyce to do it. There was no really definite way that we did it. It depended on the song. But we didn't mind bringing in other studio musicians if we needed to. So we didn't play on everything. But that is us playing and performing live.
Right. And I hope you don't mind, but being that this is a groundbreaking interview for me and no one has been able to duplicate what you ladies have done, I do want to take a brief moment to give a shout-out to yourself, Porter, Cheryl Cooley, Lynn Mosby, Robin Grinder, and then later on to join with Joyce Irby, who you mentioned earlier. So I did want to take some time out and really give the other ladies of Climax just a brief shout out. Ladies, you all are part of history, and I do appreciate you ladies and what you ladies have contributed to the R&B game. Now, thank you, Ms. Cooper.
Let me interject. It's Lorena Stewart. She got married again. And, shout out to the girls. We speak. You know, some of us have completely retired, but we're in touch with each other. So, hello, keep doing what you're doing, have fun, and I'll see you guys soon.
Well, there you have it, ladies. You heard it from Ms. Cooper herself. She'll see you soon. So, back to you, Ms. Cooper. Right now, we talked about the past. Okay. Now let's talk about the present. What do you have cooking up right now? What are you working on right now?
I'm always cooking up something, you know. For the past couple of years, I've been focusing on my novels, you know, and the Unconventional Happiness series. And it's a series of books, and it also has audio books. So you'll be able to get the voice. And the music all in, you know, in these audiobooks as well. And the books are absolutely incredible. They're fiction. So, you know, you're going to get a lot of different stories. And musically, I'm working on a project right now. I can't say much, but I will be more than happy to come back once I complete it and you listen to it and we can dissect each song. But it's great, and the beautiful thing about it, it does include members of the group Climax. So it should be really, really great. It's kind of like, okay, we're at this point of our life. You know, we are in the second half of our life. The journey still continues. You know, we were put on this earth to do that, this, and we realize it. And so let's put out something to where women can relate to where we are right now, you know, and we can go through our experience. Mm-hmm. Now we're speaking from a whole different voice, because I'm speaking from experience now, you know, and the things that I've been through in love and life and family and relationships and in the process of getting older and, you know, and still loving yourself. All of this is in the project is entitled How to Survive a Midlife Crisis. And it's fabulous. I can't wait to complete it. And that's what I'm working on right now. In the next room, I'm mixing. So that's what we're doing.
Wow. And you mentioned something, the e-books. This is what I want to ask you live on air. We have something that we do. I'm not sure if you're familiar. We're more than just music here. We are a full-fledged media company. And so have Valerie has created, and Valerie has created a lane for ebooks. So we have a platform to where you can come and read a portion of your ebook yourself, and to connect directly with the fans, take any questions to those who have purchased the ebook, read it, and then come. We'll have you on the show if you're willing to come back, and then we'll allow the fans, the people who have purchased the ebook and read it, to come ask you questions that you can ask personally right here on this show. Will you be willing to come back?
Oh, absolutely. And to Valerie, I have one book. See, I'm at that stage where it needs everything needs its last edit, you know. But I am I do have one audio book already. It's not published yet, nor is it out there, but I do have it on YouTube. So I'll send it to you, and you can kind of listen to it, and maybe we can do something around that, because it's already out there. It's called The Strokes, you know, and it's really great, and I think you'll like it.
Okay, and just briefly before I turn you over to Valerie, what was The Strokes, what is the message behind The Strokes, that ebook that's out there right now?
Wow, The Strokes is, now each book has a life of, you know, they're like, once again, like my music, each song, you know, has a life of its own. They're really, really good. The Strokes is actually about this racist woman, her name is Virginia. Okay, she she lives in this world of her own, and she's, you know, really, she just racist against everybody, not just blacks. But however, her life takes a change, and she ends up having a stroke, and she ends up in a place where she's put into a rehabilitation center where you have all of these people and people who have all so dealt with all these afflictions, and also they're dealing with the ghosts of their past. Because I don't know, right now, like many women, I'm dealing with my mother who had a stroke, and I've been in and out of these centers and dealing with the personalities and the things that go on. And it's very interesting to see the ghost of your past. People are like, it's almost a message that if you don't take the time to deal with the issues that you have, they follow you. And in these rehabilitation centers, these energies of the people in their past, they're so existent. So this woman, she kind of goes in there and she learns unconditional love through a black woman, you know, after being in there. So it's very interesting, but it's very comical. It's not so serious. So I think you would love it. I'll send you over a copy so you can listen to it.
Okay.
And I do more audio books. I do more audio books that are more spoken.
Yeah, and that'll be greatly appreciated, because that's what Valerie's in, and I'm quite sure she'll speak with you more about that, but that's what we're looking for, the audiobooks. But I'm quite sure she'll speak with you more about that. I really thank you for giving us the insight, the backstory about Stroke, a racist woman named Virginia, who goes into this home and ends up learning unconditional love through an African-American woman. And like you say, it's not just based on sadness, Stroke, but it has a comedic tone to it. And you said it'll be a good read, a good listen, because it's an audio book, a good listen. And I'm looking forward to it. And another thing I wanted to tell you, Ms. Cooper, is to keep doing what you're doing. You're empowering so many people. You're an example to so many people. Keep being a light. Keep shining. Again, what you all have done has not been able to be duplicated. So when you can do something that has not been duplicated, that means it was meant for you to do, first of all, and you did it to the max. That's probably why your name came up with Climax, because you did it to the max. Because it probably can't be done no more. So that's what I get from it. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come here, this wonderful platform, Big Exclusives, with myself, Philo the Great, and the lovely Valerie Denise Jones. And I'm going to turn you over to Valerie. She has some questions for you right now, and then I'll come back in at the end. So right now, Valerie, won't you come in and talk to Ms. Cooper? You got it. Let's get it.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi, how are you? I appreciate you
great.
So much. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being so honest and transparent with us, definitely. So I want to take a moment. We were able to celebrate you. He talked a little bit about what you're doing presently, and also we gave a lot of props to, you know, how you, a lot of us are resting on your shoulders now as we speak. I just want to ask you some questions because I'm really, really big on women's empowerment. Also, we have a lot of young listeners, specifically millennials, but I think that our women right now, that we're a tad bit confused, both the old and the young. So I want to ask you a few questions regarding that. Is that a comfortable subject for you? Just let me know if I got too far down the rabbit hole. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm
all
open.
Right.
I'm open to anything you want. I'm open to anything you want to talk about.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. So I think it was, I'm not sure if she died today or yesterday, but we lost the author Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison,
Yeah, so prayers to her spirit and her family and all her loved ones and fans. But so, like, I wanted to ask you, because you have paved the way for so many people, I see what President Barack Obama wrote and several of her fans, and I'll probably, reiterate what they wrote here in just a second, but how do you want to be remembered? And I'm not saying when you die. I mean, just how do you want to be remembered, period?
You know, I spend a lot of time by myself. You know, I've always been such a loner, and I've always known that music and being creative, period, it's something that I was put on the earth to do. I'm very into people, you know, such as your Princes and your Michael Jacksons and your Aretha Franklins. You know, sometimes in their lives, everything's not perfect because their focus and the reason why they were here is to spread music to the world. And I do believe that is my prime purpose, you know. So I want to be remembered as just leaving a legacy of a black woman, a young black woman. I started off when I was 17 years old, and here I am. I'm still in this business. Who created something that was positive, empowering, and that included sisterhood and self love for women. And I'm hoping that my books that I'm writing right now, you know, because I'm not writing any longer to get ahead. I'm not writing music any longer to get a hit record. I'm writing music so that when I leave this earth, there will be still a little bit of Bernadette Cooper left here for people to listen to and love and appreciate. And maybe they'll read more into who I am as a person, you know, than just the menopause or meeting in the ladies' room. You know, there's a lot of things that that I think they'll get out of my books.
Mhm. And I can appreciate that because I think that your songs do chronicle the female experience because it when you listen to the lyrics, you hear esteem, self-esteem. You hear, you know, you hear pride. You hear love. You hear, you know, a lot of these things that we're missing nowadays. These young girls, I don't know what it's going to take to fill the void, because we're doing a lot. We're in the age of the cucumber challenge. We're in the age where our Wendy Williams of the world, you know, wants to get back with her man because they've been together for so long, you know, but let's just forget he cheated on you, you know, for 15 years and had a baby, you know. So I don't know what we're doing anymore. And I think that we're hurting, but I don't know if we care that we're hurting. Maybe that may not even be the right adjective. It may not be the right verb.
We're not sure. We're definitely hurting. Social media has put the standard at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made the woman, you know, McDonald's factory, you know, which when we should be kind of not fast food, we should be treated, like an expensive diner, you know. So I think that the quality and our expectations are lower, and that's really horrible, you know. You know, when I'm trying to get in a parking space and a man beats me, goes around me to get it, you know, and I, you know, so. It's sort of, if we're at an all-time low, I think it has a lot to do with the drug epidemic and children having children and the whole thing about you can't discipline your children, which, you know, I'm kind of in the middle there, you know. Because children now, they don't have, you know, the way that they treat police officers, I think is amazing. There's no respect for any effect, no respect factor, no boundaries. You know, and that's very, very scary, because when I see a police officer, I pray, you know, I thank you, because then when I'm in trouble, they are the only people that I can call, you know? The respect factor is just very, very low right now, and it's a very bad time for women. It's a very scary time for women. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Right. And so I want to, and I'm name dropping only because it's in the news, so I'm not spreading rumors or nothing like that, but it really pains me, Ms. Cooper, because on one hand, you know, because I grew up around a lot of women who had respect for themselves, and I can understand it, because I'm a brand whore, you know, I love the sexy outfits and all that, but I do still try to present myself as a lady. I don't know how people define that, and to each his own, okay, great, you know, whatever rocks your boat, like my mom used to tell me, you like it, I love it. But the problem I'm having is we seem to be selling our souls to this machine. And then I have a huge problem with that, because let's just real quick, and again, I love this guy, but I'm having a real hard time in this moment with my beloved Steve Harvey, whose daughter, you know, is dating. She's 22, and she's dating a P. Diddy, and he's 49, you know, and he's dating a woman, you know, I mean, he's married to a woman, and I'm like, what are we doing? Because he talked about positioning yourself financially, and so are we selling our kids out? Are we just, you know what I'm saying? Are we securing generational? What are we doing at the end of the day? Because it's getting misconstrued. I can understand if you're saying, okay, I'm not going to stop my child from loving or liking who they like. I don't want to stand in their way. But, you know, when you stand for something and people know that you're, like, all about money, I think it's very important to make certain things clear, because you're still a role model. So I'm just asking you, because we just, our elders are blurring the lines nowadays, Ms. Cooper, and the fact what I love about you is you weren't afraid to say, I look good. You know, men pause when I walk in the room, and that meant something to you. It wasn't like a ego. It wasn't narcissistic. It was just a self-love. It was pride. What do you want to say to these women? I know you don't have the answer, but is there some kind of quick fix or anything we could say to the elders and the kids at the same time? So we can all just hug ourselves or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm really into, living your life, your best life, and doing what makes you happy. So I really can't judge too much. I do have observations of how things are going on and how our forefathers have fought and foremothers and grandmothers have fought for us to have a better life, and we're kind of destroying it and not having respect for ourselves. I can't speak on that. But I'm going to address a lot of things on the new project, How to Survive a Midlife Crisis. All the things that you're talking about is going to be there, and I think I can speak better in a music form, because I don't want to, I think the people can grab on to what I'm trying to say, because I'll be talking about it. You know,
okay.
And I live and let live, but we have to have a little respect about ourselves. But the bar of what respect is has been lowered. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of women don't even know what respect means. You know, you know how respect to us used to mean you come pick me up, you open the car door, and you pay the bill, because that's what a gentleman does, right?
Mm-hmm.
That bar doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
That bar doesn't exist
gone.
Anymore. So, you know, what do we do? What do we do? You know, and social media, and you know, I'm a social media junkie, so I'm not dogging it. I'm just saying that it also allows people to think that is the way, the normal, that it's the new normal. You know, the dressing, the way the booty injections and all of that stuff is a new normal, because it exists, it visually exists, and we as a people, we have to go.
Right.
The media, the people who control the media have to stop it, because it's not going to stop other than that.
Now, it appeared to me you guys were having a great time during those days when you made the videos, because, even today it doesn't have an energy of, being dated. What can we do today to have fun like that again?
You know what? Don't put any restrictions on yourself. You know, people think that, okay, you're a certain age or whatever, you can't do that. You just be you, have fun, have positive, wonderful people around you. I cannot stress that enough, that if you're around toxic people, you're going to be miserable, because sometimes being toxic is much stronger than positivity, you know.
Right.
So you have to keep that away from you and just kind of, spend more time by yourself, because that's where blessings flow. That's where visions are found. That's how our intuition gets stronger, when you spend time by yourself and you allow yourself to grow, you know, and you receive the right answers, you know, when you're by yourself and you're meditating and you're spending some time and you're talking to, you know, the God or the God within yourself, and you're trying to figure out things. Being by yourself and being alone and spending time and speaking to yourself to get the right answers, you can grow. That's how you grow. So that's very, very important. Yeah, that's how you grow. You don't grow at the club.
And you're still working a lot. And you mentioned that you're going to go overseas here in just a bit. Did you like touring overseas versus in the U.S., or is it just because it's time for a European tour? What's that experience like?
I just love new places, and I've been touring since I was 17. So it's just, I just want to explore new places. I love United States. I love, America. I love Paris and London and all of that. It's just time to, just get out and just kind of get some new experiences.
Do you want to name drop some of the places we should expect as a part of the European tour? Did you have any, you solidified any dates or countries?
No, we're not, nothing's going down until 2020, but when I do, I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And then you also mentioned, I wanted to make sure we really explore the upcoming music project you got with one of your band members. Do you want to share a little more in depth what that project's about? What should we expect and where?
This popped in my head probably about 3 or 4 months ago. And I called and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. Are you down? Sure. She was on a plane the next month. And we've been working on the project ever since, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And what's so wonderful about it is the fact that I'm not trying to write hits, Valerie. I'm trying to get the message across, and that's a wonderful feeling, because when you're not trying to, write hits, you're not beholden to anyone, so you can get your message across better. And I think that women are going to love it, because we don't have anything like this for us, something positive, something that's helping us grow. But it's a lot of beautiful things about surviving relationships, loving yourself, growing, and then going shopping afterwards.
Yes. My favorite.
It's a lot of wonderful things, and it's a lot of good things for men on there as well. But it's for women over 40, pretty much. We were debating on the name, and I said, oh, I just love midlife crisis. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, men go through it. They go through it more materialistically. I'm going to go buy a red Corvette, Where women, but we don't have the luxury sometimes, because we're still working and we're still taking care of the children and we're still doing the things, all of those things. But we still go through ours as well. And, am I pretty enough? Am I going to be loved? Will I find love? What's going to happen to me? And I just want women to know it's okay. You're gonna be all right, and it's really the way that you look at it, and the way that you learn from your past mistakes, and not continue to make those mistakes over and over again. That's very, very important. So the project is great. It's great. Mm-hmm. I have Jerry Brown, my engineering, Jerry Brown, Grammy Award winning Jerry Brown, is executive producing the project. And he's my sounding board. So it should be a very interesting project. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, because, it could go either way. I could just give it away. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do, but you will be hearing about it. And I'd like to come back and speak with you again.
Oh, sure, certainly.
Yeah, we could break it down.
Yeah.
We could break down each song or each part of the book or whatever. I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, because we're currently hoping to get back into web series. I am an award-winning short filmmaker, so I would love to continue doing those things. Yeah, and then Philo mentioned the ebook, because I want to encourage people to start reading again. And if you don't like reading, at least listen to an audiobook. But whatever
you do,
pleasure yourself that way.
You know what? A lot of women do read, and one of the things that I'm doing is, the reason why I'm doing my audiobooks is, there are e-books as well, but mainly audiobooks, is because they're for women. They're for women of color. They're for every woman. I don't even want to just say women of color. Because we're the working force. We're working. We got to run home. We got to pick up the kids from school. We got to take them to soccer practice. So we don't have time to read a book. So my audiobooks will keep them entertained while they're doing these things.
Right.
But there's a lot of women who read. You'd be surprised. My mother, who doesn't really read often,
I'm one
she
of
listens
them.
To audiobooks.
I love to read.
Huh?
Yeah, I love to read. I love to read. Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. I love to read.
Yeah.
You know,
my mom told me
depending on the book, I can read a book.
I was reading before I was talking.
Wow. Yes. So yeah, I'm gonna send you my audio book, which I think you'll enjoy because it's comedy and tragedy, you know.
Okay.
Kind of mixed
okay.
in there. But it's a message. It's a message, you know. And I think the woman, you know, the one I've just, you know, that's out right, that I finished the audio book because they take a long time to do. The audio
gotcha.
Book that I just finished, you know, it's connecting to women who, you know, we are taking care of now and burying our mothers and our grandmothers. And this is that experience, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So before I move too far from the whole how to survive a midlife crisis
okay.
agenda,
okay.
You the whole movement you're
yeah.
spearheading, do you have a bucket list like that, you know, like something you're checking off as it relates to that? Because I know a lot of women who go through a midlife crisis, you know, because like you said, we're not always afforded the luxury of just going out and just splurging, but I mean, we can make like a short bucket list of sorts. Do you have one you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Oh, yes. The one I'm working on, where I'm actually doing two or three things at one time as far as Jerry is in the other room mixing All the Girls Are Looking, which is, you know, the rules of dating, you know.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
you know, and but the one I'm working on right now is very interesting. It's called Generational. And it's dealing with the generational curse, you know. And I deal with it, you know, of women and you know, of the past, of our mothers and our grandmothers who have issues, and the fathers who left you, and you know, and you feel fatherless, and molestation that you've gone through in your life, and all of those things that you've gone through, and the generational things that you bring to the surface. It's time to fix it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't fix it now, it's gonna follow you. So I talk about that, you know, and you know, I open up about some experiences in my life, you know, and what I've dealt with in my life as a woman growing up with other women in my family and the men as well, like that. And it's just a generational is the name of it, and I love it. And, you know, stick with your tribe. Sometimes your tribe is not your family. Sometimes your tribe
mm-hmm.
is your, you know, just a group of friends who have the same experiences in life, and you can move forward with the rest of your life with. You know, it's very
mm-hmm.
important that we find happiness right now and
mm-hmm.
so we can move forward in happiness. And not in
okay.
the past curses of our lives and the negativity and all that. So that's what I'm working on right now.
All right, awesome. There's
still a lot of humor in my stuff, so but that's
gotcha.
The one I have to
keep.
Yeah.
I want to just ask you maybe two or three more questions, and then I have a huge
sure.
request because this is just, I'm just fascinated by that song, the one song. I'll bring it up in just a second. But
okay.
I was reading somewhere, and I saw that Regina King gave a big shout-out to Beyonce. And I wanted to ask you, has anyone ever approached you and they said to you, oh, my God, you're like my hero. You inspired me to do X, Y, Z. And you were just floored that they said that to you? Has there ever been an instance where, you know, like you wouldn't have imagined a certain person was a fan and they were?
Yes, I've had that happen many times. Now I have to pinpoint somebody. You know what? I'll just say Tina Marie, because she was also, she became a friend. Yeah, she approached
uh-huh.
me like that. She approached
okay.
me with compliments. She approached me with compliments and no hate, no, you know. She took me to the side and said, look, you know, I'll tell you what she said. I think you're the most talented girl in the band. I really love you. I like the other girls, but something about you is very special. I've been watching you, and I just think that you're the bomb, you know. And from that conversation, we went in the limo, we smoked a joint, and we became friends.
You thought to drink?
Yes.
We became friends.
A sound bite. We have a let me see if I can find it.
And she would come over to my it's legal here, so but she would come over to my house and we would you know, I was like her Band-Aid, you know, in the sense, you know, she would share some of her stories and I would make her laugh. You know, we had a great relationship, a great friendship, a great friendship. She was a very beautiful spirit.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. I can't, God, I can't find it. It would have been so cute. I'm never ready. But we actually have a soundbite. Did you notice that Philo the Great came alive when you said that? Tell her why you came alive. Tell her one of the lines from your song, Philo, why I look for the soundbite.
What's fine?
Philo?
I hope that you know I smoke everywhere that I go. If I can't, then I don't know what you invited me for. And that is a line from my song. I'm smoking everywhere I go. I believe in the smoke, not just for recreational. I'm not promoting it if you don't do it, but it is medicinal purposes. They are prescribing it to patients nowadays. And in some states, like the state of California, like the state of Colorado, it is legal. So, with that being said, I need not say more. I will turn the interview back over to you all.
Okay.
But I approve that message.
Yeah.
You approve of that message? I mean, I will smoke, but I'm not a smoker. You know, it's kind of like if you happen to come by and, you know, if it's the mood is right, maybe one little hit or whatever. But that's very rare. But during that time, you know, we were smoking. So, but you know, we didn't do it. You know, it was kind of like just to hang out, just kind of, you know, just open up and laugh and have a glass of wine and laugh.
Gotcha.
That's what our friendship was about, you know.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah. Whenever we always pay tribute.
It's not like we're rolling blunts.
Smoke weed every day.
Right.
I also see we've got someone on the board, Ms. Cooper. His name is Ali. And I don't even know if he's even listening. Hold on, because it's cute. I'll get back to the interview in just a second. 858-322. When I play this soundbite,
smoke weed every day.
Ali. Oh, man, it would have been so great if he would have been there. I put him on the spot. Yeah, but it's okay. But, yeah, when we play the soundbite, he normally comes back and go, smoke weed every second.
Right. So oh, no, I would be brain dead.
But, yeah, Ms. Cooper, I laugh because I needed smoke nor drink, so I don't even know. I grew up with a lot of alcoholics and people who abuse drugs, and I grew up around a lot of domestic violence. So, so somehow or another clicked in my head, and so I remember the
first
time
you're gonna love surviving a midlife crisis. You're gonna love surviving a midlife crisis.
Okay. I can't wait. Do you have, like, and I know this is putting you on the spot. I know one thing that I want before I let you go. One thing I wanted two things from you as I listen to you. But one thing I know you could do, the other one might be putting you on the spot. But do you know any of it by memory and could recite anything from the book that you'd like to share to give us a little teaser?
From the strokes?
I'm sorry? From your book, from your novel, or from the project?
Not really.
No, not really. Okay, here's
no,
one of my. This would be my dream, if you gave me the intro of "Men All Pause" when she.
I know I was looking for it. You know, it was so funny because during that time, you know, Gianna Versace and Kenneth Cole and all those. I was kind of the first person who started putting them on wax, but their companies individually called me and gave me free product.
Okay. All right.
Isn't that great? Oh,
that's
that excited me. I don't know if it excited you.
It does excite me. But I would love for you right now to act like you were talking to me and say that intro and go, Valerie. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use it as a
Valerie.
Forever. I swear I am.
Valerie, I know I was looking good. I had my Kenneth Cole shoes on, my Gianni Versace blue leather suit, and my hair was fierce. And I was riding in a Cooper limousine.
Then I gotta give you the biggest applause. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But yeah, big shout out. And like I said, yes, please keep us in mind regarding your books, your projects, your tours. All of that, we are here. We're at your disposal. We're here if you need us. We're doing some different things, trying a bunch of new things out, which is like Philo mentioned, we want to be known for more than just music. And not music meaning like, you know, we don't appreciate music, don't love it, meaning just like just the radio shows. We want to give people an experience when they stop by. We want to give our fans an experience. We love giving away giveaways. So if, for instance, you got a book and you say, hey, you know what? I want to give a digital copy of an excerpt of it. Please email it to me and I will do a contest or something like that, you know, to give that away. You want to give away snippets of a new song. I don't know, you want to do a simulcast, you know, we do a live. We're trying to do groundbreaking stuff like that. And that's why we're working so closely with Jeff Kwan. Big shout out to Jeff. He is busting his butt for the people on the West Coast. Yes. So, we're trying to do what we can. We're marrying the East and the West Coast because Philip and I are Southerners. Big shout out.
So you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do? What I'll do is I will send you the link to the book on YouTube. You listen, and then you tell me how you want to proceed.
Sure, certainly, of course. All right.
Okay,
we'll
I can come on. You can, you know, give it maybe to your listeners to read, and then we can maybe have a book, maybe a book party where we, you know, the people who listen to it. Yeah, people will listen to it. We can talk about it. You know,
I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to tell you something, Ms. Cooper. Please check your schedule because between Philip and I are Virgos, right? So between the 5th and the 19th of September, I want to do something. And just like you just said, I would love it in celebration of my half of the birthday extravaganza that's coming up. I would absolutely love to do an online book press party for you where we invite people from the press.
Oh, wow.
We have a great time. Yeah, so that'll give us time, you know, to prepare and really truly promote. But we're going to be doing a lot of giveaways, you know, during that time. I got to talk to Jeff more about it, too, so we could bring him in and see if we can't get some more giveaways and some more people to stop by. But, yeah, we're just going to have fun and get turned up because we're just celebrating life and having a
good
time.
Sounds good.
I'll make you a priority.
I'll send you a link. Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
You know, but I, you know, they're about 4 or 5 books, and it's a series. So I don't know if I'm going to release them individually or all in the series. But I gotta let go because I've been like re-editing, but now it's time to let go. So any way you want to do it, I'm down.
All right. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
But I want to send it to you, and I want you
to love
it first. Once you
love
it,
we'll do
then
that.
We can really, once you're passionate about it, we can really go forward.
We'll do that, definitely. I'll do that. Because I got your emails, so I'm going to make sure I send that to you because we're going to send you the edit because we're going to share this everywhere, our iHeart, Spotify, all over, our international pages everywhere. But everybody's going to know that we spoke to the one and only Ms. Cooper. Yeah. We were hanging with Ms. Cooper.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So what do you want people to take away from today's interview? Because I have had
a wonderful time. I'm telling you, I'm smiling. My cheekbones, I have naturally high cheekbones, but they hurt right now because I've been smiling like the whole time. So thank you again. It's an honor.
Just know that I'm still here, and I'm at the best years of my life, and I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm even better now, and you'll see. You know, like I must say so myself. I'm even better in every aspect of my life. I'm happy. You know, I'm content. I have, you know, no remorse. No, I'm straight. You know, so I still have more music. I have more creative things to leave on this earth. So I'm just hoping that all of the followers and people who have always loved me will continue to love me. And let's just do this thing together, you know.
Yes, of course.
Right, CeeLo?
Yes, that is absolutely right. Absolutely, positively correct. I approve that message as well.
Okay, great. I'm going to have to send you something in the mail. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Send it on, baby. Send it on, baby. Send it on.
All right.
Smoke weed every day.
Definitely.
Anytime, whatever you want to do, let me know. I'm down.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm in my
creative space.
I got a question. In Southern California or the Bay Area, Ms. Cooper?
I'm in Los Angeles, Southern California.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Because we visit frequently California, so when we come to the state, we're going to make sure we hit you up, we come, take you to lunch, take you to dinner, whatever time you can make for us, so. Whenever we come there, so don't be surprised when we call you and say, hey, we here. We want to take you out. Okay?
All right. No problem. I am around.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Valerie, back to you.
No, yeah. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, we are at the end of this. Hope we didn't beat up on you too much. Again, big shout out.
Oh,
I want to dedicate a portion of the show to Toni Morrison because she left us, but also big shout out to you.
Thank you.
I said, I think it's, yeah. Philip, I know he had a great time. I heard him ask some very, very interesting questions. I had a wonderful time. We love you to life, definitely that.
Thank you.
And I'm really, really excited. You just don't know, you gave me an early birthday present saying you'll come back and, yeah, you'll be part of our extravaganza, because I will put together a book thing, like I won't call it a waiting to exhale party, but midlife. We'll name it after your project, and we'll call it that.
Okay.
And have a whole bunch of women
providing a midlife
and
crisis.
Men too. Yeah, yes. We'll do that, and we'll do that, and just have everybody come in. I'll get my non-alcoholic libations and have everybody, sip on
right.
It's fun. And we'll listen to you read.
Hey, Valerie, you know the name of the album that you're working on is How to Survive a Midlife Crisis, the album. So you can do a How to Survive a Midlife Crisis, the campaign, leading up to the album that includes the book. You know what I'm saying? The e-book, the stroke.
I agree.
And we can start right there with stroke and then anticipate, I believe it's called generational. So she has a lot of things lined up. My advice, Ms. Cooper, that I'm giving you right now is don't release them all at once. You keep the people begging because they will be wanting to come back for number two when you give them number one. And then you roll it out over a course, and then that will build the series. And so, you know, that's just my advice. Just because you said you didn't know how you wanted to roll it out.
Do you think that's – I love that. Do you think that – because I've been debating that, because I don't really think – I was telling Jerry that even with – okay, let's talk about the album. I don't think we should put out an album. I think we should put out singles, you know, and keep people anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should put out one single and do some remixes to it. Do it like they used to do it back in the day. Put out another single. Because sometimes when you get the album, everything just kind of stalls. But the anticipation of another song coming, and people like that. And the books as well. Thank you for that.
Yes.
You helped me make a decision.
Because Yes, and I second that motion with
or
the same as well.
Or bundle it, put
because,
out a song and a song and a chapter or something at the same time.
Yes, and I'll
yeah,
be sending you
right,
a link because I want to get your feedback.
Yeah, and I just want to say I second that motion with the singles because nowadays with digital you're dealing with algorithms. So you work the algorithm by releasing often and early. So doing singles, 4 singles a year, 1 every quarter, will help that algorithm and it helps you stay fresh and it helps you stay current instead of just releasing the whole album. So I second that as well.
Love that. Love it, love it, love it. And I am going to take that advice because I was debating on what I was going to do, but you just gave me an answer. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yay.
So at this time, I need you to shout out your social media so that people can find you, love on you, and also give your website to the listening audience.
So,
I'm not sure if you Philip mentioned that earlier.
On Instagram, it's Bernadette Cooper Official. Then you have my touring page, which is climaxofficial.com. And then my personal website is climaxbernadette.com. I'm sorry, climaxbernadettecooper.com. So there's so many other sites, but those sites will lead
mm-hmm.
you to all the other ones. And on Facebook,
okay.
of course, is Bernadette Cooper. Bernadette Cooper 2, you know, request, and I'll let you in.
Okay. All right.
You can see
thank
me
you,
and my dog.
You. What's your dog's name?
Kung Fu. You know who gave him to me? Raven Kung Fu. Raven Simone gave him to me. You know?
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. She called me, she says, you know, I really don't want to give him to anybody. It was the mother's. He was her mother's dog, and he was like, I don't want to give him, I want to give him away because I'm going to art school. She was on her way to art school in San Francisco. She says, but I don't want to give him to anybody but you. But I had 2 other dogs at that time. Anyway, I said, all right, you know what? I don't want to say yes until I meet him. So I went over to her house, and I saw him. I was like, okay, he's the love of my life. He's a really cool, smart dog. Kung Fu. He's a poodle. He's a little poodle, but, you know. So, all good.
He spoils with the nails polished. Okay. And then the
well,
wardrobe.
Well, you know, he's not that kind of poodle. he's a little bit more macho than that, but he's
gotcha.
A cool dog. I'm glad she gave him to me, you know.
Gotcha.
I'm an animal lover.
Ah, awesome. All right. So what I want to do at this time, like I said, we definitely want to send as much traffic, you know, your way to social media. And again, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Again, big shout out to Jeff Kwan for going as hard as he does. Big shout out to, I see a bunch of familiar names. I see LA and Ali is in the building. Appreciate that so much. A lot of members I don't know, so I apologize. But thank you guys for hanging out. We are at the end of the road, end of the session. I hope you learned a lot. I hope that your paper is full of information and that you will support. I am Valerie Denise Jones, ValerieDeniseJones.com, and also MSValerieDeniseJones.com. That's the new media page. And I will let Philip give out his contact information before we wrap because I am definitely going to end this session jamming out. Phil said, I miss you, but it makes me sad. So I am just going to do the looking. I look good. That's how I want to end it out. So I'm going to let Miss Cooper intro that.
With, I look good. I like it. I look good. Thank you for the love.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. All right, so Philo, I'm going to toss it to you. Give us your contact information, and then please ask the one and only Miss Cooper to intro the song.
Indeed. No, go ahead, Miss Cooper. Go ahead. You go first.
You know,
ladies first.
You know, I wrote this song because if you're in tune to yourself, it's not about physical looks. It's just about loving yourself and looking good from the inside out. And I thank Bette Midler for redoing the song. She opens up her Diva Las Vegas show with this song. She opens up her show with this song. And thank you, Bette Midler. I love you. And thank you to everyone for the love, and let's keep doing this thing. I look good.
And you heard that here. And you heard that right here. That was Ms. Cooper speaking right there. So I am CeeLo the Great. Follow me on all social media sites, PH like phone, ELOTHEGREAT. And please visit the website at CeeLoTheGreat.com. And as always, get rid of the quit it. Barbecue and me or do some will, some won't, some do, some don't. And if you got a problem with anything I have said, you always got two options, either check it or respect it. I'm out of here. Gone. Valerie.
All right. So we're going to rock out to I Look Good. Thank you again, Ms. Cooper. We love
all
you
right.
to life.
All right. Have
all
a good
right.
evening.
Thank you.
Mommy, she's back.
I'm Stephen Ivory from Real Life Magazine, and we're here talking with Bernadette Cooper. Bernadette, how are you?
I'm fine, just looking good.
That's good, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been off the scene for a while. Where have you been, incognito or?
No, just kicking back, relaxing, and looking good.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm talking about, clap your hands.
You know, there's a rumor going around that you have a bit of an attitude.
Attitude? If I don't think I'm looking good, nobody's going to think I'm looking good. Look
yeah.
good.
Well, I can understand that, but why can't you just be nice?
Okay, I'm nice.
But what is this thing, this attitude thing, this vibe I get? Why don't you explain it to me?
Well, it's something that I really can't explain about. An attitude that you just got to know. It sort of feels like nice. I'm a hell of a girl and I'm loads of fun, but you got to get to know me. To be brutally honest, where I like to be. Anything less, don't expect of me. So here's the real deal, give you the spiel on how I deal with myself on a daily basis. I mean, walking down the street used to be easy, you see. Now people stop and they cruise me. They say, baby, what's your name? Where you going? What's your sign? I say, oh, nothing, just looking good. And just yesterday, I was strolling in the bank, and everybody had a scared look on their face. To my left, then I go to my right, and Mr. Bank Robber aimed a special on a Friday night. So I walked up to him because I had nothing to lose, and I guess he observed that I was looking good. He gave me the money, then he threw down a gun. He said, are you bad girl? No, I'm Bernadette.
Well, who does your hair?
I look good.
I look good.
Every time I walk into the room, that's why I look good.
I look good.
They love me, they hate me, but they all say, I look good.
I look good.
See, I'm a hell of a girl, and I'm loads of fun. I look good.
I look good.
But you got to get to know me.
Ooh.
See, I got an ego. We all seem a bit of blood, but I got a bank account to back me up. Visions of grandeur, oh baby, this is the big leagues. I ain't no amateur. This is lie that they follow. I'm gonna leave you with something you can remember me by. I prophesy and get your love off. Lace, silk, face. I'll give you mental pictures that the mind can erase. I look good.
I look good.
Every time I walk into the room, hot damn, I look good.
I look good.
They love me, they hate me, but they all say, you look good though.
What is that?
That's very passé. I don't want to do that,
but
please.
But can you do it for us?
No, please. Okay, God. Slap it, slap it good, baby.
I look good.
Every time I walk into the room, that's why I look good.
I look good.
They love me, they hate me, but they all say I look good.
I look good.
See, I'm a hell of a girl and I'm loads of fun. I look good.
I look good.
But you got to get to know me. Hang on, baby. Good, honey.